Father, I bow my knee before you. My Lord, my God, my daddy, my everything. Father, I thank you for your presence here. I thank you for everything that you've done for each one of us. And Lord, I thank you that the plans that you have for each of us are plans to make us succeed. So I pray, Lord God, that your word would go forth this morning and reveal every obstacle. Just put your hand on your heart now. And I just want to lead you in prayer. Just say, Holy Spirit of truth, shine your light into my heart and reveal every obstacle to your glory flowing through me. Do something in me today. Set me free. Raise me up that I may bring glory to your name. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Just before you take your seats, if you can just reach your hands towards the youth who are filing out. But Father, we pray for each one of our young people that, Lord, you would do something new in their hearts and lives. Father, we pray that each one would grow in the knowledge of you and that each one would have such a personal relationship with you that would sustain them all the days of their lives. We speak your blessing over them in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Please take your seats. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You know, it's funny. The first scripture that I want us to look at, we've already looked at. The Spirit is one. Isaiah 55, Anto already referenced. But I just want to go back to it for a moment. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. And and I just want you to hear what the word is saying about the word. Has anyone ever seen, except in Catch Me If You Can, no, not Catch Me If You Can Part 2. What's the, Now You See, you know that movie, Now You See Me? Isn't that a great film? I love movies. If you haven't seen Now You See Me, it's great. But in Now You See Me 2, there's one instance where they get the rain to go up. Has anyone seen that? I mean, it's all just tricks and fun. Don't worry, it's not supposed to be supernatural. But I've never seen rain go upwards. Has anyone here ever seen rain go up? Has anyone here ever seen snow going upwards? No. Occasionally there's a blizzard and it will go sideways. But you see, the Bible says, if we can have it up there, please, Isaiah 55, it says that just as the rain falls down and does what it's supposed to do, God gave the rain for a reason. We need the rain. And just as rain comes down, just as snow comes down, and it causes the earth to bud and flower and be fruitful, so God's word that goes from his mouth will accomplish what God pleases, and it will prosper. It will accomplish and it will succeed. Are you hearing me? The word is what succeeds in our hearts and lives. Are you hearing me? So just as sure as rain comes down, so the word has the power within itself to produce a harvest in each one of our lives. Are you hearing me? And you see, God has given us a word. He's given us his word, but he's given us a word. You see, it's the word that works isn't the Logos. It isn't just the whole Bible, you understand? It's the spoken word given by the Spirit to you and to me that works. And that word works. So you see, we have to have the word and we have to protect the word. Are you hearing me? We have to have the word and we have to protect the word. I want to look briefly at another scripture. We're going to go somewhere today. Isaiah 35, verses 3 to 5. Isaiah 35, verses 3 to 5. And it says, strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God. He will come. Verse 5, then, say then. Then, say then. You see, the word works. Yeah, we established that. There is a word that's gone out over your life for this season. There's a word that you're going to expand to the right and to the left. God will have interpreted that in your own life and in your own family, what that means. There's a word that's gone forth, but we've got to do some stuff in our own hearts and lives so that we can make sure that the word works in our hearts. Are you hearing me? And you see, what this scripture is saying is that we've got to strengthen those areas in our hearts and lives that are weak. Have you ever felt weak? Oh, just me. Anyone else ever felt weak? You know, we've got to strengthen ourselves when we're feeling weak, when we're feeling when we're feeling feeble. And that scripture says fearful-hearted, when we're feeling just a bit afraid, overwhelmed. Anyone ever felt afraid or overwhelmed? Roro, behind the wheel in the car. Sorry, can I share this? How many drivers in the house? Wave at me. Right, she knows I love her. How many drivers? Put up your hand, because I'm sure there must be more drivers than that. Right. So Roro's just had her third driving lesson. I'm so sorry, Roro. And she said, in my last lesson, she said, I went into second gear. I said, you mean the entirety of your first two lessons you were in first? She went, yeah. I said, well, maybe Roro, by your fourth lesson, you should believe to get into third and fourth. She went, oh, no, I think we'll stay in second. So say to the fearful hearted, behold, your God will come. You see, there's times in certain bizarre areas of our lives where we feel weak. We feel feeble. We're suddenly like, oh, my goodness. You know, I remember the first time going in the car at night in the dark. And when I was a learner still, and I see these lights coming towards me, and know what happened to me is I got transfixed. So I'm driving on the left as I'm supposed to, and I'm watching these lights, and I'm just going, ooh, you know, like, and my dad was teaching me, and he just grabbed the wheel and pulled me back over, you know. And I remember another time, and I'm out driving, and I see some friends in my village where I lived. And I've got my hands on, he goes, hi! And again, my dad, Joe, pulled me back on track. But you see, sometimes we need to be pulled back on track. Are you hearing me? A word goes out, we believe the word when the word comes, but then stuff happens. Things are thrown at us. And suddenly the word goes slightly out of focus. But you see, we need to deal with those things in our lives if we're going to have our then. If we're going to have that moment of manifestation. And I want us to look at a particular area where we can find, if we can have Mark chapter 4 verse 7. Mark chapter 4 verse 7. And this is, we're going to look at two verses from the parable of the sower. And this is when Jesus is telling a story to help people to understand how critical the state of our hearts are. Say, my heart is important. So this is Jesus explaining how important it is what state our heart is in to the word working. Amen? That's what the parable of the sower is. Some people call it the parable of the soils. I think we should call it the parable of our hearts. Because then it helps us realize what this is all about. Because what it's talking about, you see, the seed is the word. The soil is our hearts. Faith is of the heart. Faith isn't just a head thing, although we need to understand in our minds and in our hearts what we're believing, but faith is of the heart. So for us to really believe the word, the soil of our hearts needs to be right. If we can have that back up there, please. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Okay, back please, verse 7. And some seed, and the word went forth in Harvest Church. Are you hearing me? And the word was this, that you will expand to the right and to the left. The word was that you are going to see promotion and breakthrough. You're going to see transformation. The word went forth. And it was planted in a heart that had other things there. You see, what's in our hearts is either going to make room for the word or it's going to crowd the word. And you see, if we don't deal with the issues of our hearts, then the word can be of no effect. You can have two people sitting side by side in church, listening to the same messages week in, week out, and one sees complete transformation and the other stays the same. And it's not the word that's different. It's the state of our hearts. I want us to look at when Jesus then explains what this means. Mark 4, verses 18 to 19, please. And he's explaining it later to the disciples. And he says, now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They're the ones who hear the word. How many are hearing the word this morning? Hallelujah. They hear the word, verse 19. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You see, cares, bothers are going to be all around. It's when they enter in. It's when they go from being external things to suddenly on the inside, this is now bothering me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is now churning on the inside. But when we allow cares in our hearts, it will, the Bible makes it clear, it will choke the word. And the word will not be fruitful. So you see, we need to take care of our hearts, don't we? I want to look at what some of these words mean. So this word choke in the Greek, it means to strangle completely, to drown. So when we're worried about something, when something's bothering me and it's whirring around on the inside, you know, one of the ways I describe it when I am carrying cares, I don't know if you've ever walked into a swarm of flies. Has anyone ever done that? It's horrible. It happened to me the other day, actually. I was out running, and suddenly was this swarm. They looked like horseflies, actually. Massive swarm, and you're suddenly like, ugh. And it's just swarming around your head. But when we have many different things that are bothering us, concerning us, troubling us, you know, it feels like having a load of flies just swarming around our heads. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it's like, it's even hard to hear yourself think. Never mind to hear the word of the Lord. And, you know, sometimes it's when that happens, it's like just being crowded. You know, when everything just feels like there's too much going on. You feel overly busy. You know, some of you know this, but I made a decision many years ago. I once heard Joyce Meyer preaching, and she talked about this word busy. And I remember, as she was speaking, realizing, you know, you can never say, I'm busy without it being loaded. You know, some things that we say are loaded. Like if I say, I love you, Ruth, it's loaded. Are you hearing me? It's loaded with love. It's loaded with affection. You know, there are some things that when we say them, they're loaded. Other things are just facts. So if I say, you know, I'm really busy, it's loaded. Can you hear what I'm saying? It's full of stress and this sense of it, I've not got enough hours in the day. I'm communicating more than just one phrase. I'm saying, don't you add to my busyness. I'm also saying I feel like there's too much on. But if I say life is full, does that sound loaded? No, it's just life's full. Great. I'm being stretched. Life is full. You know, but busyness, it even just that word is full of cares. You know, it just projects this sense that I've got too much on. I can't handle the amount I've got on. You read Proverbs 31 about that woman. Do you know what? We're all in the image of God, so if women can do it, men can too. And the men said,
amen.
Wow, most of the men didn't. In fact, that was the women saying amen. You know, she was up early in the morning. She had her own business. She fed the poor. She provided for her family. She was spiritual. She was charitable. I mean, she was had a full life. But you never got a sense of her being busy. And I remember making this decision. I'm not going to use that word. And I very, very, very rarely, I mean, that was about 10 years ago. I very rarely use that word because it's loaded. And there's so many things we do that can end up just being really unhelpful. I don't very often say I'm tired anymore. Because you're, I'm tired. It's like, do you know what? Get over it. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Therefore, let the tired say, I'm refreshed in the presence of the Lord. Are you hearing me? We've got to change our confession to line up with the word. And then there'll be times that we need to say, do you know what? I need a rest. You know, and that's fine, needing a rest. But you see, cares choke us. They end up drowning out things. And this word care, it's very interesting what it actually means. It's from a Greek root. The word care is merimna, but it's from a Greek root which means to divide. To divide, to separate, to part. In other words, cares have a purpose. And they are to divide your attention. They are to distract you. They are to separate you from your purpose. Cares are an enemy idea. They are enforced by his motley crew, and they have a purpose in your life. And that purpose is to separate you from your destiny. It's to separate you from your destiny by separating you from God's word. So every time I'm worrying, every time I'm allowing myself to be worrying about anything, I am basically entertaining a strategy of the enemy to separate me from what God wants for me. Are you hearing me? Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about it, and then I want to show you an illustration. You see, cares come in so many different ways. And how many of you every now and then in prayer you'll say, I cast all my cares, I give you all my worries, Lord. How many every now and then you'll say, I cast all my cares, I give you all my worries. Okay, see, I want to explain how we're supposed to do with things. Because you see, if I'm bothered by stuff, if it's troubling me, you know, it's like churning on the inside. Things are bothering me. You see, what the Bible says, you know, in Lamentations, and I quote this all the time, it says, pour out your heart. It doesn't say do the right thing. It doesn't say pray a prescription prayer that's available over the counter at any chemist in the UK. It doesn't say this prayer exactly this way every time. It says, pour out your heart. What's the point I'm making? You see, so often we think we've brought our worries to God because we've just said, God, I give you all my worries. But we don't even really know what we're worried about. Let me explain what I mean. Let me share a little story in my own life, okay? Just to give you an example. So I'm preaching next month in Miami at King Jesus Ministries. And it is their annual big women's conference. And it's a great, great honor. And because of the mandate God's given me for the USA, because he's really sent me to that nation, I love that nation. My heart beats for that nation because of what he wants me to do there. So this is a real privilege and an amazing opportunity. Okay, so you see something that's important to us. Why is it called a care? Because we care. So you're not going to have any cares about something you don't care about. So turn to your neighbor and say, if you care about it, then there's a potential for a problem. Okay? You care about it. The first prerequisite for something potentially becoming a care. So I started to realize, you know, I'm just churning a bit about it, thinking, ooh, gosh, you know, I'm a bit worried about it, a bit nervous about it. God, I give you my nerves, give you my worries. Did that work? Nah. Because you see, why am I worried? I want you to understand something. You see, we don't normally say the truth. We don't normally say, Father, if all is well, then why am I feeling like this about preaching at this conference? What is it that I'm actually worried about? Are you hearing me? Because the Bible says, pour out your hearts, and that applies to giving our cares, casting our cares, just as it does to getting healed in the presence of the Lord. If you don't say what you really mean, then that stuff's still trapped on the inside. Those words are still not spoken, and you've never really identified, that's what I'm worried about. Are you hearing me? And so I'm saying, God, what is it I'm worried about? You see, I'm one of these people that, and somehow my husband's different like this, and I would love to be like him because, you know, we can't do absolutely everything always awesomely. How many of you know that? You know, you'll have some days at work and you'll give a presentation, it'll be the best presentation you've ever given, or you'll serve a customer and you will just get that sale and it'll be textbook, you know, or if you're, you know, maybe you work in a school, you'll just handle it perfectly and you go away going, wow, great. But then there's other days when it doesn't go great, it just goes good. We're not talking about the bad days. Just the days where it goes good, but not great. We see, I'm one of these people, just my personality type. My husband's, he can handle good. He can handle something being fine. And go, yeah, it was fine. It was, you know, and I'll be like, wow, he's chilled. And it was fine. You know, I'm one of these people, I mean, I want every single thing I do to be just awesome. I want everything I do to have been, wow, God, that was the greatest thing I've ever seen yet. And tomorrow will be even greater. You know, it's just the way I am. And so that desire for everything to be awesome. And then, you know, when you go through experiences and you don't like them and they feel horrible. Anyone ever gone through stuff? And it just doesn't feel nice. So there were a couple of things recently, a couple of times, you know, I'm a preacher, so I'm telling you a preacher story. But it's not, it doesn't matter what it is you're doing. It's the same principle. And so there were a couple of things recently. One was Healed for Life Champions Day here in January. And when I was ministering, I got to the end and I got home and talking to my husband. I'm saying, you know what? I just didn't feel that anointed. I just didn't feel that, you know, I know that people were ministered to and I know God moved in power and I know, but my love, like I've been more anointed than that. And then he said something. He said, were you nervous? And I went, wow, because there was this couple sitting like about here. This couple, right? Wasn't you, no. And they were sitting on the second row or something, and they sat the entire way through staring at me. If I said something funny, if I said something sad, and they completely unnerved me. My problem, not theirs, you realize. And so I ministered that whole message just with this feeling of a bit of a fear. I was intimidated by them. Are you hearing me? So I was like, oh gosh, you're right. Hallelujah. It was like my husband he turned a light on in the inside of me. I was like, praise God, I always need a strategy. I need to notice, I need to realize if something's intimidating me and deal with it in my own heart. And then about a couple of months ago, I was preaching in a church and I didn't like the site. Like, it was just a really strange shape, this building. I'm strange, okay, I admit it. But I didn't like the building. So there are people in all sorts of different parts. You know, imagine if you've got like a side transept over here. You know, and you've got one group of people here. Then you've got people here, and then you've got pillars everywhere. Then you've got people here, people here, people here, and then three different balconies. One here, one there, one there. And I'm in this building going, I don't know where to look. I don't know which direction. And you've got to understand, the whole way through, I'm just preaching away. Hallelujah, God's good. It's all, you know, they would have no clue. But on the inside, I'm going, I don't like this, Lord. They're all like looking, like, where do I look? And I'm just, I didn't like it. You know, and afterwards, because I've got a team in the US who work with me, awesome people. And afterwards, I think, praise God, it was great. And I get home and I go, God, I didn't like that. Not nice. You know, and I came home and I, so you see, I'm now looking forward to the conference next month and I'm all worried. And you see, this is where we need to work out, what is my worry? Turn to your neighbor and say, what are you actually worried about? Because if I say, I cast my care about the conference, I don't even know what the care is, so I certainly haven't dealt with it. So I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, if all's well, why am I churning? Because if I would stop and ask myself and said, do you think, you know, I mean, the ticket's there, they're not going to cancel you on the program. Like, am I worried about that? Well, no. You know, my mush is on the, you know, because I care, and so I wouldn't want to be cancelled. What is it? And I realized God just shone his light. I was really scared that it was going to be okay. Just okay. And I'd be afterwards going, God, I failed you. I was scared of failing God. I was worried about, you know, another time, actually in that church where I'm going. And I was wearing, I mean, I was dressed smart this day. Mother's Day last year, I was preaching in King Jesus Ministries. And I was wearing a skirt, straight, jacket from BIM. And then Rhoda Wambui, are you there? No. Yes, she is. So she gave me these heels. Now, I would never have bought these heels. Because I'm talking like 2-foot-high killer heels. You know what I'm talking about. So, Rhoda, I'm wearing those heels. Now, the thing you've got to realize about their church is you've got a really big platform. So I'm starting to preach that day. And, you know, all good in the first few minutes. And then I suddenly realize I want to go down the stairs. I want to get down the stairs because I like being up close and personal with people. When I see your face, something's pulled out of me. And I'm up the top of this platform going, I can't get down there because I might fall. So I preached the whole message, feeling like a bird trapped in a cage, thinking, I want to get down the stairs. And then, of course, the irony of it. I mean, it's a church where if I had just gone, about 10 ushers would have leapt up and carried me down. But of course, worries are not rational. Fear is never logical. Are you hearing me? So I'm trapped on the platform like a bird in a cage. And then the moment I do an altar call and I see men and women just sobbing as God's healing, I run down those stairs anyway and thought, what was I doing? But you see, so now I'm looking ahead, and I'm scared of not succeeding. I'm scared of not really doing God justice. I'm scared of failing him. I'm worried that somehow I'm going to get it wrong. Are you hearing me? You see, casting the care of Deborah's, that's the name of the conference, onto the Lord wasn't doing it. And instead, when I said, Lord, show me, what is it I'm actually worried about? And God showed me, and so I get before the Lord, and I just start to pray. And I said, God, I didn't like it when I didn't feel anointed here in January. Lord, I feel like I let you down and I let people down. And I'm scared of that happening again. I'm worried, God, that it'll be just good or okay. I give you my worry. And Father, I'm worried about wearing the wrong stuff. That's so silly, Lord, but I'm a lady. And we care about our clothes. So Father, I give you my fear about getting my clothes wrong. I give you every worry about all of it. And then I got up out of my prayer closet. And I said, now, Lord, I need your word. Yesterday's word isn't enough. I don't mean the word I'm going to preach. Nah. I mean the word from you that's reassuring me that, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to flow and your hand's on my life. And so God gave me his word. He gave me it. He reminded me, you see, because normally it's there already, but it got choked. It got strangled. So if something strangled, it's now dead. So it needs raising from the dead. And he gave me his word. He spoke it into my heart. And then all I could do was worship. And now I'm just so excited. Are you hearing me? Now I can believe the word, and the word can become fruitful in my life. But just the, I cast every care, doesn't do it, my friend. We need to be in touch with what it is that we're worried about. We need to connect with it. Sometimes you know exactly what it is, but sometimes actually the real issue is a bit hidden. And we need to learn with our cares, just like with anything else, to pour out our heart. You know, two friends here, if Adriana was to pour out her heart to Sandra, she wouldn't say, gosh, you know what, I'm a bit worried about work at the moment, but hey, it'll be okay. No, she'd say, I've just got this boss, and I don't know what it is about him, but every time I walk in the room, I feel like he stiffens. He's just a bit mean to me. I feel like, you know, he's a bit suspicious of me, and he doesn't trust me, and he's my boss. How am I going to get promoted if my boss doesn't even like me? She's pouring out her heart. She's connecting with the real issues. She's saying the truth, not some religious prayer. Are you hearing me? What's the difference between us and what Jesus talked about with the Pharisees? If all we do is say the phrase, but we don't speak our hearts. Prayer is of the heart, because faith is of the heart, because we serve a God who's all heart. Are you hearing me? So I want to give you an illustration of how this works. And Godfrey, I can't see him in the box, but if you could, is Godfrey there? No. Are you ready to? Yeah? So, you see, what cares do is they end up being like this distraction. If we can have the scripture on the screen, and if you can start playing that now, please, Liz, that would be fantastic. So, we've got the word. But then what cares do? A little bit lower, please. Until it's just a lower, lower. Stop. So cares are like this background noise. Ever felt like you just can't think straight? You can't see straight? You got the word, but like you got everything else just crowding as well. And you know, the other thing with cares is once something's become a care, once one thing has become a care, everything else is more likely. We've opened the door now to fear. We've opened the door now to worry. And everything else starts to have the same effect. You know, so I don't know what it is you're going through. Maybe it's at work and you've got an interview and you're just thinking, gosh, but how am I going to, what happens if I don't get the interview? Keep it low at the back.
I try and try many jobs, many interviews. I just don't seem to be able to get these jobs. I can't get over that.
So we've got that going on. And then, you know, maybe it's something else. You see, you've got a job interview coming up, and the job interview is going to potentially resolve a lot of other problems as well, because you're worried about finances. And you just, you know, you just don't know if you're going to be able to pay the bills. And you're just thinking, you know, oh my goodness.
How are we going to pay the bill? How are we going to pay the mortgage today?
Tomorrow is due. I don't know.
Maybe I have some savings. Well, this is not enough.
We don't need the mics necessarily, but you see, they're building up. Are you hearing? So I've got a job interview coming up, and I'm still worried. And these voices are still coming at me from different directions. It's all around. And then suddenly, you know, I'm at home, and I notice a lump. I notice a lump. And you know, suddenly that starts to bother me now as well.
Fearful, I'm scared, anxious, worried.
And I'm just thinking, what is it? What is it? I wonder if it's that. But, you know, half the time as well, we're pretending that voice isn't speaking. We're pretending that it's not there. How many people end up pretending they're not sick? And as a result, it becomes terrible. You know, it's just there. It's hidden. And so all these things are crowding us. They're all around. You know, and most of us are in some kind of relationship. And so then, you know, we start worrying about marriage. And it's, you know, there's just all these concerns on the inside.
What if he doesn't find me attractive anymore? What if I can't give him the son that he's always wanted? What if he finds another woman?
What if she's invalid? What if we lose repossess our home?
And so all these things are going on. Carry on, all the cares, people. And it's like voices. Anyone ever felt there? Remember, we started reading a passage in Isaiah 55 or Isaiah 35. We're starting to feel weak. We're feeling a bit fearful, hearted. Anyone even able to notice what the word is saying anymore? It's all coming at every direction. And so this is what I need to do. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm so worried about my job, this interview coming up. God, I'm just afraid that I'm going to look stupid. That I apply and then I don't get it. God, I just don't want to be humiliated. You can sit down now, Anta. I just don't want to be humiliated. So God, I give you my worry about that interview. Lord, I thank you that you have my best interests at heart. And suddenly, one, I still need the background noise, please. Please wait until I ask you. And then, God, there was something else as well. Lord, the real reason why I was worried about the interview is, God, how are we going to pay our bills? Lord, I'm the head of this home and I'm just struggling to feed the family. But Lord God, I give you my worries. I give you my fear about being repossessed. I give it all to you. And Lord, this lump that I've been ignoring, pretending wasn't there. God, I know that you're my healer. And Lord, it's probably just a lump. But whatever it is, I give it to you. And Father, I give you my marriage. Lord, I love my husband so much. And Father, every worry that I've had that I'm not going to be attractive to him anymore, I give it to you and I leave it with you. In Jesus' name. Now the background noise down. I give it all to you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. And Father, I thank you that you say that I shall expand to the right and to the left. My descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. You see, then we're free. The clutter gone. The concerns gone. You know, we need to deal with our worries. We need to get God's word. Do you know when we've done all that? You know, the best thing about an area you've been worrying, don't then go into war. Warfare prayer. Just worship. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. I just want to ask you to rise to your feet. You see, God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to succeed. He's given his word. But many different worries and cares have been choking it, strangling it, drowning it out. And right now, I just want to encourage you across this place, just lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord. And if you know that you've been worried, Something's been bothering you. Just start to talk to the Lord about it right now. No religious prayers. None of this, I cast my care. It's amazing when you start to say what you really mean, how that's the point when you feel the relief. I was praying with someone recently, and she said she was full of care. She had some cares about her family. And I said, well, just pray right now. And she said, Father, I cast you my cares about my family. Nothing. I said, can I lead you in prayer? She said, yes. And I led her in prayer. Imagine her husband's name was Robert. And I said, pray after me. Father, I'm so worried about me and Robert. And she started to weep. Right now, in the presence of the Lord, tell him exactly what it is. Someone here, you're starting to feel like you're getting too old for your dream to come to pass. You feel like time is passing you by. And you've not acknowledged this worry that you've been carrying. But right now, the Holy Spirit is saying, I know your thoughts, even the thoughts you didn't know you were thinking. So pour out your heart right now. Whatever it is that you're carrying, just talk to him from your heart right now. Just tell him about every worry, every concern. Speak about people by name. Be honest. Someone here, you're concerned about your teenage children. You know, sometimes we're just tired of fighting. Just talk to the Lord from your heart right now. Thank you, Jesus. And now I want to ask you just to bring God's word back up in your heart. It may have been strangled in this particular area. Just allow the word of God to arise on you again in the inside. Just start to remind yourself of God's word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just allow that word to speak straight back into your heart afresh. The word of God will not return void. The word of God will accomplish what God promised you. Just allow that word to come alive again. How many of you felt a burden lift? Just lift both hands in the presence of God. If you felt that you've released some cares, lift both hands high in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And we're just going to sing right now, just for a moment. You are worthy of it all. Thank you, Jesus.
Worthy of it all. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy of it all. For from you, O God, for from you are all things, unto you are all things. The Lord, you are worthy, Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Thank you, Father. Some of you are going to need to go away and finish that properly. But I want to encourage you to keep a really short account. There was a season in my life where I had to literally make a daily care casting habit where I would go into the presence of God and day by day, I would tell him about whatever was worrying me. And you'll end up living a life which is more often than not carefree than weighed down. Are you hearing me? As you develop a new habit. Praise God. If you just shut your eyes in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today and you have never given your life to Jesus, maybe you've believed in God for a long time, but you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never opened up your heart and said, Jesus, I want you to come and live in my heart, in my life. I want to follow you. Or maybe you've done it in the past, but your heart has gone far from God. And you know that you've backslidden and you're not where you once were or where you should be. If that's you, whether you're doing it for the first time or whether you're saying, God, I want to come back to you on this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday, if you're saying, I want to open my heart to Jesus, I want to ask him to come to my heart, would you just lift up your hand high while everyone else is praying so that I can pray for you? Just lift up your hand if you're saying, I want to give my heart and life. Thank you. Thank you. I want to lead everyone in prayer. And if you just pray, we'll all pray together. If you just say, Heavenly Father, thank you that you love me and you have a plan for my life. I ask you to forgive me for everything I've done wrong. And come and live in my heart. Fill me with your love. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Praise God. Let's put our hands together one more time for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.